Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
So the word cop is a very versatile word, don't you think? You could cop to the charge of copping a feel on a cop by copping to a plea deal if you want to cop out.
Nice.
But this is not a etymology or linguistics podcast. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
It's a bit of a cop-out, but it's Travisito.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that technically, like, the real Spanish would be Travisino. That's what I've heard from some of our friends who are fluent. But Travisito is my seminar nickname, so I appreciate that. I would have gone with Trabajo Travis, because I work so hard. And I will be joined today in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Jefe de Cerveza, Sean. A.K.A. the brew boss, Sean. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome to the show two returning guests. First, the one that I expected to be here, Chelsea Ono. As well as Sean's Topa Chica, Ali. Sean's Topa Chica, Ali is in the house. And together they are known as the Hot Tamales. Thank you for being here.
You're more than welcome.
With that, I do want to do a further description of the show. The tagline at the top says watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, aka actors who are at the height of their powers. And so, quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of the current like remake, reboot culture that is ongoing. We're trying to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
Thank you very much. And with that, we will go into our first little segment, and it's going to be movie news. This is one where we, throughout the week, try to glean a few stories from the 24-hour news cycle that have to do with movies and have to do with cinema that maybe our listeners might find interesting or maybe hadn't heard about. So what is our first thing? Well, off the top, we got to do RIPs, mm-hmm. right? And the first one, this was not a real shocker. It was kind of something that we knew was going to happen sooner or later. But rest in peace to Peter Mayhew, who was, of course, the original actor inside of the Chewbacca costume in most of the Star Wars movies. He has since trained his replacement before passing away, so we're not going to be without someone in the suit. Also, another sad RIP, John Singleton passed away. We mentioned on an episode a few weeks ago.
It was last week.
It was last week's episode that he had a stroke. And so having had that stroke, he has since passed away from it. Film director John Singleton, responsible for some classic films, most notably his first film, which he was nominated for an Academy Award for, Boys in the Hood. So rest in peace to John Singleton. Our next movie news segment is one that, Sean, you told me about the other day, and I think that you saw it on IndieWire about the Avengers runtime bootleg.
Oh, yeah. There was a TV station in the Philippines.
Correct.
That ran a bootleg of the Avengers the day after release.
The day after the theatrical release in the Philippines.
Streaming to all the home audiences.
And so they're probably going to be facing a pretty hefty fine.
They said $30,000.
That seems light.
It seems super light to me.
Considering how many viewers may have had access to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got one more movie news story, and that is that Opie himself, Ron Howard, says that there is a Willow TV series in the works. How do we feel about that, Hot Tamales?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Okay.
The question is Allison going to be a part of it? What part of Willow's life are we going to? Is it Willow now? Is it Willow then? And who can replace Allison Hannigan?
So many questions.
And Sean, you had a comment about it as well.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the movie because I saw the concept sketches and production drawings.
Do not dare besmirch the name of Mad Mardigan.
The final look of the film looked nothing like the production sketches, and it would have been so much cooler if it had. So
okay.
If they go with that look, I'll be excited.
That's probably a pretty common thing, the evolution of concept to screen. A lot of changes, probably. All right. Well, I think that will wrap us up for movie news. And I think I hear la telefono. It must be the Department of Corrections Department with La Migra Dana.
Hi, Choppers. Nothing jumped out at me as needing to be corrected, but I did want to clarify that Mr. Smith Goes to Washington starred James Stewart rather than Fred McMurray. It also starred Harry Carey, but not that one. It's spelled differently anyway. Hopefully the fact that I didn't have to correct anything will stave off any potential prison mutinies any of you all might have had an inkling to plan. Namaste put.
Okay, gracias, Dana. No triste. So that will bring us... Yes.
So last week, Sean...
Oh, a correction from the hot tamales.
Yes,
okay.
This is a big
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
I almost crashed my car listening to this.
Okay.
I can't remember what movie it was, but it was the Space Mutiny movie, I believe.
Space Mutiny?
Where Sean? He was talking about the female lead character, and he said that she looked like Debbie Allen.
Okay.
And I was like,
No.
I don't think that's right.
So
Debbie Allen is my aunt.
Listeners, take a moment and look up Debbie Allen.
Most notably, she was in Fame.
Mm.
She is actually of a different ethnic background than the actress in question.
Oh.
We think that Sean actually meant Debbie Reynolds.
Oh.
And I did.
Okay.
So.
All right. And Debbie Reynolds is Carrie Fisher's mom, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Okay, well, that actually will bring us to the theme of the episode. In celebration of Cinco de Mayo, which is this Sunday, probably about when the time that this episode goes kerplunk, La Películas de México, or The Films of Mexico. So we're going to be taking a look at some of the movies that have come out of Mexico, not necessarily throughout the history, but we've got some early ones, we've got some middle ones. We've got some fairly contemporary ones. And also, real quick, before we go any further with that, I did want to talk about the actual true meaning of Cinco de Mayo. A lot of Americans are misinformed. A lot of people are operating under the false assumption that it is the Mexican equivalent of Independence Day, their version of 4th of July, which makes sense. It's the date and the month. But it's actually not. It's actually in commemoration of the Battle of Puebla, in which in 1862, the Mexican army defeated a much superior in numbers French imperial army at the town of Puebla. And to this day, the parties that happen in Puebla, Mexico, will be very similar to what you see on Cinco de Mayo in the United States, but elsewhere in Mexico, besides like Puebla, outside of Puebla, it's more of just like a respectful day of remembrance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Kind of like our, let's say, Memorial Day or Veterans Day.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, it's time to go into our first mini segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. It's not the first mini segment. It's a mini segment that we're doing right now, though. The Midnight Double Feature is a fun one where we go around, across, over, and through the panel, and we talk about movies that are within the theme of the episode. I say movies. Normally, I would say two movies, but I might have a little fluctuation on that today. But, Sean, I'll let you go first with your double feature of Mexican movies.
Okay. I'm going to start with the inferior movie of the two.
Okay.
2002's The Crime of Padre Amaro.
Okay.
It is...
What was his crime?
I can't give that away. Well, maybe I can. We'll get into that. But it stars Gael Garcia Bernal, Ana Claudia Talancon, Sancho Gracia, and is directed by Carlos Carrera.
Okay. And no relation to Tia Carrera or Asia Carrera.
No. But Gael plays a very young priest who comes to a town to work under his senior priest.
Okay.
And very quickly comes to understand that there's a lot of political and wrongful activity going on behind the scenes. There is a priest who lives up in the mountains who is supposedly helping to arm guerrillas.
Okay.
And the priest that he is studying under is in cahoots with the drug lord.
So how do they get the guerrillas to pull the trigger?
Shut up.
Because it seems like their index fingers would be too big to fit inside the trigger guard.
Just shut up. And then the... so the... you've completely derailed my train of thought because all I can think of now are gorillas shooting machine guns.
It would be a better movie, probably.
It would be a better movie because this movie was not that great. But anyway, the senior priest was taking money from the drug lord to help fund a hospital that he was building.
The crimes of...
So it's the crime of Padre Amaro.
The crime of Padre Greystoke.
Yeah, anyway. Please. Anyway, Padre Amaro's crime is that he starts hooking up with this young Sunday school teacher on the side.
I'm back on board.
Yeah, and it's a little risque, but he shows some flaws in his character at the end of the film. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I was left feeling kind of just disappointed in the film because there really was no hero in the movie. There was no really
redemption.
There was no redemption. There was really no moral. It was just kind of a grim film.
Yeah.
So I'm pairing that with 2001's Et tu Mama Tambien.
Et tu Mama Tambien, means and your mama too.
And your mama too. And this was directed by Alfonso Cuarón. Roma fame.
Mm-hmm.
But it stars Maribel Verdú, Gael Garcia Bernal, and Daniel Jimenez Cacho.
Okay.
In which they play two teenage boys with who go on a road trip with an attractive older woman.
Uh-huh. It's kind of a coming-of-age story.
It's a romp. It is a raunchy road film. But the thing that's remarkable about this movie is that Cuarón does such a fine job of, in the periphery, there's a lot of political storytelling going on. And there's a lot of human interaction and emotional depth as well versus what you see right in front of you.
Right. So, like, the three main characters have kind of this tunnel vision of this kind of adventure that they're on, whereas the viewer is seeing this stuff
There are other things happening
very
as
cool.
well. And he does a great job of painting a very realistic picture of Mexico as well as some of the negative things that the people on the fringe go through in that country. So I'm pairing those, of course, because Gael is the common thread between the two.
Nice. So of the two of those, are either of them recommends?
Definitely Et tu Mama Tambien.
And the other?
I would not.
Not a recommend.
With it.
Okay. Gotcha. Very nice. Okay, well... ladies, the Hot Tamales would like to give us their double feature now. Go ahead.
Oh, I'll go first. It's a movie from 1997.
Okay.
And it stars J-Lo, and it's Selena.
Oh, Selena. Very good. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she was a Mexican-American who was a singer.
She defined Latina music at the time.
Definitely. And they started out doing like cover songs, and then she was really adamant about wanting to record songs in Spanish and did, and was kind of this hero to everybody.
And a crossover hit as well.
Yes.
Mexican and American audiences were digging Selena.
She was trying to become more mainstream and was in the middle of recording an English album when she was shot and killed.
Spoiler!
It's from 1997.
Okay. Well,
and it's a biopic.
Everybody knows.
It's real life. IRL, she got killed by the president of her fan club.
Yeah. Yes.
And while these aren't necessarily films of Mexico, they are highlighting Mexican and Mexican-American females that we think are very important. And our second double feature is Frida.
Frida, very good.
Starring Salma Hayek.
I'm glad you brought that up because before I left the house, my lovely wife, Michelle, she was like, "Where the hell's Frida?" And I thought she was talking about the dog. I'm like looking around and she's talking about why we weren't recasting Frida. And I think that that movie stands on its own though. I think that it does not... I would never touch that.
And for those of you who don't know, Frida Kahlo was a prominent Mexican artist, mm-hmm. primarily painter. And she actually suffered a very debilitating back injury in a train accident in her younger life. And a lot of the inspiration that people think inspired her paintings and her works came mm-hmm. from that life of pain and struggle. And I think she's a very important artist, and I think it was a lovely biopic of her.
Beautiful. Well, I suppose I don't have to ask, but are those both recommends?
Yes.
All right. And I was going to say, in terms of face value casting, J-Lo was almost perfect as Selena, and... My girl, Salma Hayek, was very good as Frida, but just slightly too chiseled, I would say. Mm-hmm. But she did her damnedest to pull it off.
Yes, Frida Kahlo is much rounder features, but there's some great makeup.
Yeah, and an amazing performance. Mm-hmm. Also, Michelle wanted me to mention that movie was the reason that she and Ashley Judd got blackballed for a while in Hollywood because they wouldn't blackball Harvey Weinstein's pig ass. So fuck him and go Salma Hayek and Ashley Judd.
Woot.
All right. So with that, I will bring it to my midnight triple feature.
Ooh.
This is only the second time that I've done this. The first one was with our... Kurt Russell episode when I did the early Disney films of Kurt Russell. But I'm going to go with the Mexico trilogy by Robert Rodriguez. It's a series of American-Mexican contemporary Western action films, including El Mariachi, which is from 1992. Also, Desperado from 1995. And then Once Upon a Time in Mexico from 2003. All three are written and directed by Robert Rodriguez, and all three films tell the continuing story of El Mariachi. And he's portrayed in the first film by Carlos Gallardo and later replaced by Antonio Banderas in the second and third film. So El Mariachi, the first one in 1992, has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it tells the story of a traveling mariachi who is mistaken for a murderous criminal and must hide from a gang bent on killing him. Okay? Now, I want you to watch the evolution of the movie descriptions. Desperado, 1995, 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. A gunslinger/mariachi is embroiled in a war with a local drug runner. Okay, so it starts out, he's just a traveling mariachi. Now he's a gunslinger/mariachi. And then C, number three, Once Upon a Time in Mexico from 2003, 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. A little bit better, but they also added a bunch more people to the cast, like Johnny Depp and Danny Trejo. And Hitman El Mariachi becomes involved in international espionage involving a psychotic CIA agent, played by Johnny Depp, and a corrupt Mexican general, who I think is Danny Trejo. It's been a little while since I've seen these, but I'm very much considering watching them on Cinco de Mayo this year in order. It wouldn't even be new check-ins. I would be shooting myself in the foot to do it, but it might be worth it. Also, I wanted to mention that the first one of these three that I saw was Desperado. And of course, there's the very sexy Salma Hayek in there. And it caused me... we liked the movie. We, being me and my family, mi familia, we liked the movie. It caused me to go and rent El Mariachi. And I watched it. And it's a much more... lower budget film. It's his first film. It's Robert Rodriguez's first film. And you can see the direction that he's trying to go, but it wasn't until later when he got the big budget that he was able to really flesh it out, so to speak. So that's my midnight triple feature.
Oh, hi, hello.
Hello there.
Hello. Is this where the Delicioso dish is recording?
Delicio dish?
Delicio dish?
I'm kind of, I did not realize that that was a trilogy. Yeah. I thought it was just
it's
a duo.
It's his Mexico trilogy, also known as the El Mariachi trilogy, sometimes called the Desperado trilogy.
I was
going to
say, I didn't realize that there was a first movie, because I saw Desperado once upon a time in Mexico.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize there was one
before. And it is a different actor, but it's the same character.
I need to watch that now.
Also, he wanted it to be kind of his version of the Sergio Leone Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More. Not necessarily in that order.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
She's mad
I'm
now.
I'm really
You totally stepped on the bit.
I'm going to do it again. Hello.
All right.
Hello. I'm sorry. Hello. Is this where the Delicio Dicio is recording?
The Delicio Dicio is recording, yes.
Well, hola. We have actually a triple feature for you. Of delicious, authentic Mexican dishes.
Oh, really? First up, what do we have?
We have the triple tea. We have tacos, tamales, and tortas.
Oh, I love Yum. Tacos.
Ole.
And tamales. And tortas. A quick plug, you can get all those things at Taqueria Jennifer, right here on Irby Street in Florence, South Carolina.
That's an excellent observation, Travisito. We really appreciate the recommend.
You're very welcome. All right, so are we good on Midnight Double Feature? We will go ahead and move it along to our first feature segment, which is going to be the recast. This is a fun one where we take a film that's within the theme of the episode, and we talk about it a little bit, and then we hypothetically recast a few of the main roles in the film. Does that sound about right?
Sounds good.
Good description of the... It's bueno.
Excelente.
Bueno. Also, another quick disclaimer. We're not trying to be offensive with any of our accents. We're just trying to be as authentic as possible and pay respect. So, the first movie that we're going to recast is from 1948. It's a year after my dad was born. and it's called Rio Escondido, a.k.a. Hidden River. It was directed by Emilio Fernandez, and it does not have a rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Sean, you probably think that's a good idea, right? It's a good thing it doesn't have one, for its sake.
Yeah, this is a tough film to watch.
Tough film to get through.
Well, it starts out, first of all, it's hard to find a stream of this.
That's true.
We watched it on YouTube
using
adaptive closed captioning.
And it's also self-generated closed captioning. So it's a computer somewhere.
So Google is essentially taking the Spanish subtitles and translating them to English on the fly.
I don't even think so. I think that those Spanish subtitles were auto-generated.
Oh, my God.
And it's converting the auto-generated...
So they're pretty hilarious. So it was a little hard to follow, but also the film starts out like a propaganda film.
Yeah.
Like a tourism bureau film where this lovely young lady who...
She's a teacher.
I later found out she is considered to be one of Mexico's great film actresses.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Her name is Maria Felix.
Mm-hmm. Maria Felix is one of the most successful figures in Latin American cinema.
But yes, she's called upon by the president, El Presidente.
El Presidente.
To go to this remote town, the Hidden River, and teach the children. She's a teacher.
I'm pretty sure the president's name is Aide. So he sends her to teach the uneducated people of this, the poorest of the poor, right? But when she gets there, she finds that the town is being run by a ruthless sheriff.
It reminded me of El Guapo from Three Amigos.
Yeah, kind of like that. So he's a corrupt local official who runs the town however he sees fit.
Depriving people of water.
Yeah.
One of the most impactful scenes is when there's a young boy trying to abscond with a little ceramic pot full of water, and he shoots the boy dead in the middle of the street.
He transforms the town into his own property.
It's awful. So, yeah, that's is that a good enough summary?
I think that we should...
Oh, and there's a smallpox outbreak.
Okay.
That happened too.
I didn't remember that. So the three roles that we will recast are the role of Rosaura Salazar, who is portrayed by Maria Felix, who was 34 at the time. The next role is going to be the role of Regino Sandoval. He's the ruthless local landlord of the town. And
he was played by Carlos Lopez Moctezuma?
Moctezuma, correct. The dude did 215 films between 1938 and 1980.
Wow.
He retired from acting in 1980. Wow. Then we've got the final role that we'll recast in this movie is the president's assistant, who is really like the attaché between the teacher and the president. And he's portrayed by Roberto Canedo, who was 30 at the time. Any other comments on this? I know, ladies, you saw like a segment of it, right? No?
This was too tedious to watch, so no.
Chell, sí o no?
No.
All right, so first up, it's going to be Maria Felix as Rosaura Salazar. Sean, would you like to go first?
Sure thing. My actress was born in 87, thus making her 32?
32.
What is that in Spanish?
32.
Wow. So she was in Spectre.
I was born in 86 and I'm 32.
Well, you're going to be 33 this year.
It depends on what time of year you were born. Let's move on.
Sorry.
This is not a mathematics podcast.
Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede the remake.
So anyway, she was in Spectre, the 007 film. She was in The Bridge, Once Upon a Time in Venice.
Oh,
but I noticed her in Annabelle Creation. She played the young nun who was plagued by Annabelle. Her name is Stephanie Sigmund. Stephanie Sigmund from Sonora, Mexico.
Okay. All right. I can see it.
It was her role as the nun, though. Even though she was a teacher, the main character, she had a lot of nun qualities about her as well. And
hey, Chelsea.
Yes.
Do you know why they call nuns nuns?
No, I don't.
Because they don't get none.
Oh!
All right, so I take it that the two of you do not have a recast for this?
We don't.
Okay, no, so we'll move it over to me.
We're here for color commentary.
I like it. I like it so much.
And for visual stimulation.
All right, very good. So my actress is 36 now, and she's very popular on telenovelas. She got her first big break on Rebeide. From 2004 to 2006, playing the character of Guadalupe Lupita Fernandez. Her name is Maite Peroni.
Ooh, she's pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, because this is a black and white movie, all of my visuals are in black and white. I hope that just helps the...
It does.
Good.
I like artist. It.
All right, so...
I like it.
Sean, how do we feel about the character herself?
She had steely resolve.
Yeah,
despite being, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but this was, you know, in the mid-50s. What was the time setting for the movie itself?
I do not know. It's definitely earlier than the 50s.
Right, and so as a woman going up against this Don,
yeah,
I mean, that was a huge David and Goliath type story on a sexual politics kind of level.
Right.
So yeah, she had steely resolve.
Very good. Okay. So now we've got that Goliath that we're talking about. Oh, did you mean like a metaphorical Goliath?
Yeah.
Okay. So not that Goliath, but a real bad guy in the town. His name is Regino Sandoval, and he was played by Carlos Lopez Moctezuma. He was 39 at the time, and I'll go first with mine this time. We'll switch it back and forth.
Okay.
I'm totally going to keep track of that. So my actor is 50 now. He was in Skyfall. He's also been in No Country for Old Men. And he's also known for being in Penelope Cruz. His name is Javier Bardem.
Uh-huh. We love him.
Yeah, he'd be good too. He's got that kind of handsome evilness right?
Correct.
Travis, El Guapo.
Have you seen The Counselor?
The Counselor.
With Javier Bardem and Cameron Diaz.
Like he is not.
I have seen it. I didn't think it was good, though.
I didn't either, but there's like a scene in that movie, and I have PTSD from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem shows his butt.
No. If you've seen it, I don't understand why you don't.
Oh, I don't remember a lot
Cameron
of things.
Cameron Diaz, the windshield of his car.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that. Oh. Now that you mention it. Okay. And so...
I'll tell you later. Okay. Scary.
Sean, who's going to be your big bad?
All right, so my big bad is going to be 38 years old this year. He is... I can't even pronounce the little area of Mexico he's from. But he was in... Designated Survivor, the Kiefer Sutherland vehicle. He was in X-Men Days of Future Past as the character Sunspot.
Okay.
He's in Narcos as Minister Lara, and he was in The Following with Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
His name is Adan Canto.
Okay.
Adan
nice.
Canto.
When you said Narcos, I was afraid you were going to have one of my picks from later. All right, so... what else do we say about this character other than the fact that
he shot a kid for hauling off some water.
He's a real bastard. Piece of shit. He reminds me. No. Well, I'll mention this later.
Not Javier Bardem.
No, Javier would never do that.
But did you see No Country for Old Men?
He's very, very evil.
Did you see Skyfall? He's very, very evil.
Any James Bond film ever?
Oh, wow.
Not a single one.
So when we do our James Bond episode, we better make sure to get Chelsea on there.
Right?
All right. So the next role is going to be the president's assistant. He was portrayed by Roberto Canedo, who was 30 at the time. And Sean, I think you're going first on this one.
Sure. This gentleman will be, he'll be 30 next year. And he was in this movie called Gringo. About medical marijuana.
Oh, I've seen that.
Woot.
He was in Savages and Deserto. His name is Diego Cantaño.
Yeah, Diego I've seen all three of those Cantaño. Movies. Deserto was a scary-ass movie about this. It's not Javier Bardem, but it's the gringo guy who looks like Javier Bardem, who was also on Walking Dead. Do you know who I'm talking about? Negan on The Walking Dead?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
What's his name? He was also on Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. Oh.
So
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so he's the bad guy.
I don't think his name is. Oh.
It might be.
That's his middle name. but he's the gringo in Desierto who's shooting the migrants as they go across the Desierto.
Cool.
It's fucked up, though. His name's Jeffrey something. Jeffrey something.
And he's from Morelos, Mexico.
All right. So my president's assistant... Ayúdame with this. He is 39 now, and he was in Narcos, Mexico. He was also in Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights.
Woot!
He was in...
I shopped him.
He was in Rogue One.
Yep.
He was also in the aforementioned Y Tu Mama Tambien. He's best friends with Gael García Bernal since childhood. His name is Diego Luna. Diego Luna is going to be the president's assistant. So, what else do we need to make the joke?
Yes.
That's not a joke that I thought that it was the president who we were recasting and I thought his name was El Presidente Aide, and that just shows my ignorance. So, with that, what else do we need to say about The Hidden River,
Escondido. Not a recommend. Unless you could get a DVD that has English subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
I was really struggling through
it. If you are a classic Mexican cinema completist, you might want to check this out. Other than that, kind of like you said, slugging through.
Yeah.
Another thing, this is also funny. I was too lazy to hook my computer to the TV to do the online... adaptive English subtitles. So I just watched it on the YouTube app with the Spanish subtitles. And my Spanish is okay, but that's why I have a few patches here and there about the movie I don't understand. Since I watched it with all Spanish subtitles. All right. So with that, we are going to go to intermission, but not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some
tamales.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under
reviewed. Like make it a whole pyramid scheme, get the people under them to do it, and multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show, don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
And we're back. Thank you, Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us through that dreadful conversation and through intermission. We do appreciate it. We just had to take care of some business. But when we come back from intermission, we like to do a cerveza check-in. And we brought a couple of somewhat on-theme beers today. The first one is going to be Citrica, which is a Mexican ale from Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee. What do we know about Lakefront, Sean?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
They've been around for a while.
Yeah. And so this is an American craft beer interpretation of what a Mexican ale would taste like, right?
Yes.
And so what do we think?
It's okay. It's okay. A little heavy on the lime, almost like a Bud Light lime kind of thing going on there.
Okay.
A BL.
So, a BL. So the flavor is kind of like a Corona if you had already put the lime in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. But I imagine that hopefully they did it with, you know, like some fresh ingredients or something.
Can I check this one in?
Absolutely.
The natural ice natter days.
It's not ice. It's natural just natural light.
Sorry.
You'd be way more fucked up if it was natural ice.
Okay. It tastes like natty ice with like strawberry lemonade syrup.
Well, it says strawberry lemonade.
I know, but it tastes like they just poured the syrup into natty ice.
They poured the syrup over ice into the natty, natty light.
No.
It's a natty light.
I don't give a shit what you say. Okay. That's what I want to call it.
Calling it. But what is the actual beer called?
Natural light.
No. What is the actual beer called?
It's called Natter Days. I already fucking said that. Jesus
Natter Days.
Christ.
And what are the little things on the can?
Pink fucking flamingos.
Apparently it makes you angry too.
They are. They are fucking on the can label.
They are not.
They are not.
There is a huge space.
Pink fucking flamingos. All right. So we'll check in another beer here in a little bit. But next up, we want to go to the 2019 movie marathon. So with the 2019 movie marathon, Sean and I and whoever else would like to participate, we try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year. And we check those in online, mostly on Twitter, and Letterboxd, but we link to Letterboxd through the Twitter posts with the hashtag 2019 movie marathon. And I do mine on the Cinema Chop Shop handle on Twitter. And Sean, what are yours on?
My handle is A Windowless Van.
A Windowless Van. At A Windowless Van on Twitter. That's where you can see Sean's movie marathon check-ins.
Not creepy at all.
And it is the 123rd day of the year. And what number are you on, Sean?
143.
Okay, so you're still 20 ahead. You're keeping right on pace. I am on number 119. So I picked up a little bit of steam this week. But I've got three to check in this week. How about you?
Just barely.
All right. So the first one that I will check in was my number 117. And speaking of one of the double features that the Hot Tamales picked, I watched a documentary about Frida Kahlo. And it's called The Life and Times of Frida Kahlo from 2005. And it is a pretty in-depth documentary that looks at not only the, like you were saying, the trauma that she experienced very early in life and throughout her life, really, when you get into her marriage to Diego Rivera, and how that influenced her artwork and her kind of unique style that continues to kind of emanate today in popular culture. Mm-hmm. Our good friends Matt and Lori recently went to Mexico and went to the Frida Kahlo Museum and brought back Michelle a Frida Kahlo lighter. And she gave it to me over at their house. I believe it was when they had seminar. She told me to give it to Michelle, and she told me to put it in my left pocket. And I was like, okay. And I got home. Now, granted, it was at midweek seminar. And so I was a little toasty when I got home. And I called Lori, and I was like, what was it you told me to give to Michelle? And she's like, look in your pants pocket, your left pants pocket. And I said, but I'm not wearing pants. So, with that, what is your next check-in or your first check-in for this week, Sean?
So my first check-in will be Avengers Endgame.
Okay, wow. Avengers runtime.
Yeah, Avengers runtime. Despite a 1 hour and 30 minute second act that felt like tedious video game side missions, the third act delivers a satisfying finish to many story arcs.
Okay.
Can't say much more about it because the cone of secrecy, the cone of silence has not been lifted.
I haven't seen it yet, but multiple people have been walking up to me being like, I saw this movie called Endgame, and you look just like one of the characters in it.
I will say that there is a great girl power moment towards the end that I thought was fantastic.
Yes! We do have a friend who saw it for the third time this week.
Was it marvelous?
Oh, good.
All right, so
The Punisher.
My turn?
The Punisher is a Marvel character.
Ah, there you go, see?
But not the pun issue.
Yeah, sure. Do you take pun issue with that? So my next check-in is going to be number 118. And, you know, usually people are like, Travis, it seems like you like every movie you watch. I did not like this movie. It's fucking terrible. The movie is called Encounter with the Unknown from 1973. And I said, so bad, it's bad. Derivative storylines claimed to be based on true events, terrible acting, and super low production value. The Rod Serling narration is fine, but makes it feel even more like a Twilight Zone ripoff. And so it's short stories together?
Anthology.
An anthology of three stories. They're like creepy supernatural stories, and they're all very, very, like I said, very derivative and obviously not true stories. And the current resurgence of the Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele as the narrator, I think adds a little bit of nostalgia for Rod Serling's Twilight Zone. And so that part seemed very kind of cheap to me. Speaking of cheap, that Natterdays has got a funny look on your face, Sean.
Because it's gross.
It's real gross.
It's like a snow cone melted into a beer.
Yes! That's perfect!
That's a good description. That should be your description on Untappd. All right, so yeah, that's my my review of Encounter with the Unknown.
All right, so my next check-in will be Escape Room.
Okay.
2019.
When you watched it, did you want to escape out of the room?
No, surprisingly, no. as these horror slash thriller franchises go, this one is promising.
Okay.
And they've clearly set it up to be one of those thing? Type things. Yeah. And, you know, unlike obscene franchises like Saw, you know, this one offers a great platform to get really creative, which they did a really good job in terms of being creative about this escape room. It's like the super deluxe, maxed out, unbelievable set of escape rooms.
Speaking of escape rooms, have any of you ever done one?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you go together?
Yes.
One time.
Oh. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
But
wow. Really fast answer on that.
But I think that has a lot of potential. It will probably suck as sequels go. Yeah.
Watched. It wasn't... Chelsea, cover your mouth when you burp.
Excuse me. I watched 5 minutes of this movie, and I thought I was going to die of a panic attack. I couldn't handle
it. Oh, wow.
I had to walk away. I was like, no.
Okay.
I'm too nervous.
Yeah, it's
a recommend?
It's not great, but it's a recommend for stupid, cheesy fun.
Okay.
Popcorn flick.
Nice. All right, well, mine...
If you're prone to anxiety, it's a no.
Fair enough. Well, my next one is actually a full-on recommend from me. It's called Low Life. From 2017, one word, Lowlife, and it's one that's been on my watch list on my like IMDb movies I want to see whenever they become available things, and I got to see it last night, and I'm super excited to tell you about it. Striking but extremely graphic, a luchador, an ex-con, an accountant, and a hotel clerk all get tangled up in an organ trafficking operation that proves to be life and death in more ways than one. And I was telling you off mic earlier that it's very Tarantino-esque. Apparently the director, well, I can't recall his name right now, but it's pretty clear that he's a fan of Tarantino's style. I was a fan of this movie.
Cool.
So that's a recommend for
me. Definitely recommend. My final would be from the Criterion Channel, their selection of noir films from Columbia Pictures. This one's So Dark the Night from 1946.
Okay.
And it's a story of an inspector in France who is on a vacation, for first vacation in 19 years, and falls in love with this girl. And they don't accept him as her suitor because he's far too old for her. And people start getting murdered, and he becomes embroiled in the murder mystery.
Oh, this is just like the Happy Time Murders.
No.
It's the same movie.
Oh. Well, Happy Time Murders was based on like the
film noir. So you're telling me that this film noir is called The Dark at Night?
So Dark the Night.
Pretty on the nose.
Right? But anyway, it was shot in California. And on a shoestring budget, they did a pretty decent job of convincing you that it was being shot in France.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but Sean is quite the fan of the new Criterion channel.
Do you mean the Criteria Sean channel?
Right.
Woot!
All right, so we are going to wrap it up on 2019 movie marathon for this week.
Unless Chelsea would like to.
Have you seen something?
Yes.
All right.
It was one that I watched today, and it was from 1996, and I didn't even really know that this film existed. It's called Foxfire.
Oh, yeah.
I had never seen it before with Angelina Jolie and Jenny Lewis.
No, I don't know about this. I was thinking of a much earlier movie.
I'm thinking about Firefox with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
This is called Fox Fire.
Okay.
It's Angelina Jolie and Jenny Lewis. And Jenny Lewis...
They're two foxes who are on fire.
Well, Jenny Lewis plays like a frumpy kind of awful girl in
Isn't
high school.
Jenny Lewis a singer?
Yes.
Okay.
And Angelina Jolie is this drifter. They're like seniors in high school. And there's this teacher who is basically sexually abusing them.
Fuck.
Yeah. And all hell sort of breaks loose when Angelina Jolie's character, Legs, comes into town. And
her character's name is Legs?
Yes. It's just, I don't know. It was interesting. It was weird. I just didn't know it existed. And I was just kind of floored at seeing
that's cool.
Actors, yeah.
All right, well...
I've seen nothing.
So the next beer that we're going to check in is also a pseudo-on-theme Mexican beer. It's from Noda up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And...
Rah,
Charlotte. And it is called Bandito Mexican Lager. So it's going to be more of a lagered beer. It's supposed to be lighter and less...
It's a smooth, easy drinking lager.
Less ABV. I was going to say, I can be on board with that one.
It's exactly what Especially you want in a lager. And I should also mention that former Seminar Brewing employee Matthew works at Noda.
Ah, very nice. So shout out to Matthew. What's his Untappd handle?
You know, I used to know, but I don't.
I used to know too. It's like it's something Star Wars, I think.
Yay!
I think it's something Star Wars related. We're gonna have to look off mic. That is our second beer check-in, and that will bring us into the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Dos.
I love it.
Dos.
And,
I loved it.
And movie number dos today is going to be Los Olvidados, which literally translates to the forgotten ones, but in the U.S. it was known as The Young and the Damned.
Is this the one that's like the porn?
Mm-mm. No.
What's the one that was?
No, that was Et tu, Mama Tambien.
Oh, okay.
That was one of his double features.
Okay, I'm trying to stay.
It was not a porn. It was a coming of age story.
It was rather raunchy, though.
I heard about this. So.
Imagine how controversial it was when it came out in
2001.
2001.
Yes.
Ooh.
And yet, Alphonse Cuarón. On the top of the mountain right now. Okay, so Los Olvidados has a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Luis Buñuel. And the film is about a group of destitute children in the slums of Mexico City.
Living in poverty.
And their misfortunes. And one of those figures, the antagonist of this film, El Jaibo, escapes from juvie and juvenile jail, and he reunites with the gang that he had started prior to that. And they attempt to rob a blind street musician, who's another one of the characters that we're recasting today, the blind man. Failing at first, they later track him down. They beat him and destroy his instruments. Later, El Jaibo meets up with our somewhat of a protagonist. He's a reluctant protagonist. His name is Pedro, yeah, and he's younger, and he's very easily influenced. And his mother is very worried that he's hanging around with the wrong crowd, and because he is hanging around with the wrong crowd. And Pedro and El Jaibo go after the person that they think put El Jaibo in jail.
The snitch.
Yeah, they go after the snitch. And the rest of the story rolls out from there. And I would say that we should leave it at that and let the viewers.
Yeah, because I consider this to be a highly recommended film.
Yeah, it's very good. As opposed to Rio Escondido, this one is a recommend from both of us, I think. All right, so the three roles that we will be recasting are Pedro as Alfonso Mejia as Pedro. The character's name is Pedro, and Alfonso Mejia was 16 at the time. We've also got El Jaibo, who was played by Roberto Cobo, who was 18 at the time. And then finally, the blind man.
Don Carmelo.
Oh, his name is Don Carmelo?
Don Carmelo.
Okay. And then the actor's name was Miguel Inclán, who was 48 at the time. Roberto Cobo was a Mexican actor who appeared in
a lot of things.
More than 80 films between 1947 and 2002.
Yeah.
And then Miguel Inclán, after this, later he became known for his villainous roles during the golden age of Mexican cinema. And then, Alfonso Mejia. He had a very, the kid, Pedro, he had a very successful career in Mexico also, but retired from acting, I believe, in 1970.
Okay.
All right, so let's go ahead and recast the first role, which is the role of Pedro. And my actor, I'm going to go first, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
He is 17 now. He was on Parenthood as Victor. He's also Miguel Diaz on Cobra Kai, the YouTube series. His name is Zolo Meridueña. Zolo Meridueña.
Nice.
And that's my pick. What do you guys think? Mm-hmm. Have you seen Cobra Kai? Anybody seen Cobra Kai?
Seen yes. Cobra Kai.
What's, you, say his name again?
Oh, yeah.
His name is Zolo Meridueña.
Zolo?
Zolo. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
X-O-L-O.
I chopped him in something a good while back.
Is it Zolo or Holo?
No, X is a Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
So, considering, as I was watching this film, I realized that this is kind of a universal story.
Okay.
Could easily be placed in any impoverished area. And so I'm recasting mine in, like, inner city America.
Okay.
And I'm...
Nice.
And I'm going...
Baltimore.
Sure. Baltimore's good, because my cast will be an all-African-American cast.
Okay.
And so my first actor, he was in the film Forever. He was in Spy versus Guy. He was in The New Edition Story as young Ricky Bell. But most people will know him as Lucas Sinclair from Stranger Things.
Yay.
It's Caleb McLaughlin.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Caleb
nice. McLaughlin. Nice. Yeah, he's good. He's good, on there.
And he's growing up really quick, yeah, too.
They all are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the new season, right? There's
yeah.
a new season Same. Coming out soon.
Season
Same.
All right. So next up, we've got the bad seed. The
Jaibo.
Yeah, El Jaibo. He's bad. My actor's a little bit older. Roberto Cobo was only 18 at the time. My actor is 27 now. But he can play a teenager. He was in a movie called Taco Shop.
Yay.
He was also in Made in Manhattan.
Oh.
But most people would
we
know
have a friend
him.
Who was in Made in Manhattan.
We do. He was a waiter.
Most people would know him as Scott McCall on Teen Wolf. His name is Tyler Posey.
Ooh, I love him.
Tyler Posey is going to be the bad guy in this movie. Oh. Tyler Posey would never do that.
He wouldn't.
But Parker Posey would.
She would.
She would.
Heartbeat.
All right, so my pick for El Jaibo, he was the kid in The Last Ship. He played Skip in NCIS.
I thought you were going to say he played Skip in The Last Ship.
No. He played Elijah Bennett in the TV show Community and can currently be seen as Roger Murtaugh Jr. on the Lethal Weapon TV series.
Oh.
His name's Dante Brown.
He's too young for this shit.
No, he's... You know, yeah, he is. I was like, wait a minute, what? No, he's like 20 years old. He's perfect.
That's great. All right. We got one more, right?
Yes.
All right, the blind man, a.k.a. Don, what?
Don Carmelo.
Don Carmelo. Like we said, he, after this, he later, well, actually, he was already 48. But so, like, throughout his career, he mostly played villains. This may be an outlier in his catalog.
He was good in this, though. He was grouchy and yeah, disheveled.
But had some wisdom
but
about
had
him.
Wisdom and
I love the scene where Pedro... almost does violence to him,
yeah,
and then drops the rock,
yeah,
and the blind man says, "What was that?" And he says, "A rock fell." And the blind man just has a knife in his hand and he just jabs it forward ever so subtly, like, mm-hmm, "I can get you, kid."
Yep.
So my actor is 71 now. He's a bit older. He is a Mexican actor and comedian who's appeared in over 140 films and television shows, including the current sitcom Vecinos, which means neighbors, and he plays Jorge, who is a homeless but nonetheless clever man. His name is Manuel Flaco Ibáñez. Manuel Flaco Ibáñez is going to be the blind man.
Wait, how old is he?
He's 71. That might be an older picture of him.
I was going to say...
He kind of looks like Louis C.K. there, who's also of Mexican descent, but we're not promoting Louis C.K.
No. I didn't know that.
All right, so my pick is a bit older as well, because for 48, the blind man looked really old.
Indeed.
So anyway, he has over 82 credits. He played Pops in the Wayans Brothers movie Little Man.
Aww.
He was a street vendor in Little Nicky.
And he was also in...
Wait a minute. Don't steal my thunder. He was in Friday and Next Friday as Mr. Jones. He was the inspiration for this entire recast. It's John Witherspoon.
Nice.
The guy looked like John Witherspoon in Friday, okay. Man. I was taken by this character.
Now, is that the dad in Friday?
It's like, the dad.
Ain't nobody going to take no stinking shit in my house.
Yeah, it's the dad.
Except for me.
You're right. It's the dad.
I remember movies from 1996.
All right.
Before you wrap up on this, have you guys ever seen the movie The Florida Project?
Yes.
This sort of like synopsis makes me think of
youth running wild.
Yeah.
However, in the Florida Project, they're like seven.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, as soon as you started talking about it, that movie like came into
my
head.
Yeah, that was my point about the recast, was that this is such a universal storyline. You've got kids who are impoverished and kind of running willy-nilly because their parents can't control them because they're too busy trying to make ends meet. And this is a very relevant story, I think, and it's a great film. I can't recommend this enough.
I liked it a lot as well. So we had a little bit of a contrast between the two films we recast today. One not so much, one iconic film.
Yes.
Right? According to the ways in which we were able to view them. Now, like you were saying, if you were able to come across a quality copy of The Hidden River with actual English subtitles, let us know how it affects you. Let us know if you feel like it's better than we absorbed it.
Yeah.
Absorb it. All right. So with that, we're going to finish up the recast and go into the bonus segment today. The bonus segment is going to be a Mexican standoff. Only no one will back down. That's what? You're going to say something?
Isn't there some controversy about what a Mexican standoff is?
I don't know what that means.
Anyway, this is the Cinco de Mayo version of the Battle Royale today, and it's going to be a battle to the death.
It's like a shootout.
It's like they stand back to back.
No. It's like three people or more all have guns trained on each other.
You're right. And so
everyone's kind of paralyzed because if one person shoots
then the
it's
other
kind of
one
a domino effect.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
But we only have two people in this Mexican standoff. All right. And they are two figures of modern Mexican cinema, two modern Mexican actors who some people get confused. They've even made fun of this on, I think, Heineken commercials. They are Antonio Banderas and Benicio del Toro. So in this situation, also I should mention they're at their prime. Antonio and Benicio are both at their prime. Who's going to win? Hot tamales, you got to give us your take first.
I mean, my gut instinct is to go with the Dos Equis guy. He'll come in from the secret door. But I'm going to pick Antonio Banderas. Only because I saw his house in Spain, and that was really cool.
Okay.
Okay. I might sound super stupid right now. Antonio's married to
Melanie
Griffith, right?
Yes.
Correct.
He's put up with some shit. He's going to win.
Oh.
Yeah. Same. I saw their house in Spain. It was gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Gorgeous. I was afraid I was going to get that wrong, but
No.
Okay. Yep.
Sean?
Vendetta.
I'm torn. I'm trying to think of a way that Benicio will come out on top in this one, but
you won't.
I just don't.
Because you know Antonio's going to win.
Well, let's not forget that.
Well, you don't forget that Benicio, he'll flip ya.
He'll flip you for real. And also, he survived. He made it out of Snatch alive, didn't
yep.
he?
Yep.
So he did that. However, Antonio was Puss in Boots.
Antonio.
Also nasal necks.
And nasal necks. So... So he has excellent respiratory skills, excellent swordsmanship.
And boots.
And
never underestimate the boots.
And we know already from your your triple feature, he knows his way around a gun.
Mm-hmm. And he knows his way around Salma Hayek.
He does.
Ew.
Important.
So what? I'm thinking Banderas.
Okay.
As much as I would love to give it to Benicio, I can't.
I'm clearly in the minority here because this is not a pretty boy competition. This is a battle. And oh, Benicio del Toro is, he's been in the streets. He knows what's up. He's one of the usual suspects. Give me the keys. And so I think that he's gonna draw on that criminality and that sicario.
No.
And ooh, he's gonna bring it, and Antonio's gonna go down. He's gonna be running away yellow bellied back to Spain to Melanie Griffith.
No, you are wrong.
Okay. Don't back up that statement in any way.
I just know.
You know.
It's Chelsea. I know.
Chelsea. I know. All right. So anything else we need to say about this Mexican standoff? You'd like to say something, Chelsea? Okay. You're just raising your hand. You're raising
in
your
victory.
Hand in celebration.
Of myself.
All right. So with that, we will go ahead and wrap up today's show. We want to thank the guests. Thank you, mamacitas, hot tamales.
De nada.
You're welcome.
And is there anything that the two of you would like to plug?
On May 18th, the Florence Regional Arts Alliance will be having a fundraiser called Pop-Up Arts and Kitchens. It will be co-hosted by Seminar Brewing and located at Seminar Brewing. And we will have local culinary artists and local material artists creating work at that time. So you can contact, you can go to the Florence Regional Arts Alliance page or the Pop-Up Arts and Kitchens page on Facebook to inquire about tickets. $25 for individuals, $40 for couples, and it's from 4 to 6 p.m. on May 18th.
¿Tienes fajitas? More people will come if you say there's fajitas, for sure.
Oh, there may be street tacos.
Ooh,
and Mexican street
tacos.
Corn.
So I don't know if I'll be on the podcast next week or not. So, like, don't forget to call your moms on Mother's Day,
the
May 12th.
May 12th is, yeah.
And then my beautiful, beautiful son turns 8 on May 10th.
Oh, that very
Saturday,
nice.
So.
Friday. The 10th would be Friday. You should.
Yeah, his birthday party is on the 11th. So
gotcha.
I got confused. Sorry.
So he's going to be celebrating it on Saturday.
Yes.
Very nice. All right. Shout out to Motherhood, Madre. And so also, I want to plug the podcast itself. We want to remind the listeners to please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher app that you're listening to us on. We're on a few of them. Also, you can listen to us natively online. It's on podbean.com. We are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Our Twitter handle is at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. Our Facebook is facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And then our email address that I've just been, I click refresh and then I click refresh and I click refresh every like 30 seconds. It's cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And also the beers that we checked in today, the especially Natter Days, will be checked on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. I want to thank the engineer, El Jefe de Cerveza.
What?
Thank you for doing what you do. What do you have to plug?
Right Answers with Wrong Travis is back.
Very nice. We had a pretty good episode the other night.
So Wednesday.
Pretty good round of the new competition.
Yeah, Wednesday nights at Seminar Brewing.
Cool deal. And also, what's next week's episode?
George Carlin movies.
Oh, nice, nice.
Hot tamales.
I love him.
Also, Hillary has committed to that episode as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. It'd be nice to have
Hillary
back.
She couldn't be here today, but she has committed. There's no way we can have all three of these people in here.
No, it'd be a madhouse.
We're doing it.
And then also, we want to say adios to you, the listeners, and please, please remember to watch... Chop, Retrofit.
Yee-haw-hee!